no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion?
I wanted to speak about Islam because it's very easy for us to do the classic, and I think that's what they want us to do, divide and conquer. And the problem is that people are confused. They think this is about religion. This is about authoritarian versus a libertarian existence. That top horizontal bar is the lie that we've been told, that there is far left, far right, and in the middle is, you know, democracy. When in fact, what it is it's socialism in the middle. So they've lied to us and they've made us think that there's this thing called far left, which is supposed to be very different from far right. It's a lie. What is true is that the real, you know, spectrum is from total government to anarchy. And constitutional republic is just slightly below anarchy. It's where we have liberty and freedoms, and we live in Christian countries under the idea that we are given inalienable rights.
Loads of people call me racist for going to these, but I just want to be able to feel safe in my own community, and I just want to be able to walk the streets like my dad and my mum used to without a worry.
Dr. Mukaddam, what is the penalty for apostasy?
If it's an Islamic country, then the Sharia is very clear. Apostasy is dealt with the death penalty.
Thank you. That's all I want to hear.
He plays his games. We play our.
They create this fake paradox of political systems. Is something totalitarian or is it libertarian?
If we start going Islam, is evil and they're all, barbaric and cruel and they're awful to women and blah, blah, blah. We're just going to get into the divide and conquer. What I think we can differentiate that any religion...
Islam is totalitarian.
Yeah, any religion that's totalitarian, we don't want.
There's no big organized Christian movement that's going to put beekeeper suits on women and enslave them and do all this. Exactly. So we have to recognize, where is the real totalitarianism in religion right now? It's Islam.
Have you ever had a single moment's thought about my responsibilities? Have you ever thought for a single solitary moment about my responsibilities to my employers?
This is a concerted effort by a group of human beings who are authoritarian, who wish to conquer the entire planet. What we're talking about here is a lower frequency of existence. And we can all imagine, like, you know, when the Aztecs would be like sacrificing people and the Druids were sacrificing little children. These are low states of consciousness. I mean, murdering people in order to placate some vicious god.
Allah promotes violence against the Jews, against the Christians, against the kafir, the unbeliever. Openly, Allah himself is telling the Muslim people to go and kill them with violence. And it's like you're doing favor to God, like you're doing a supernatural, amazing thing by killing your enemies. And the exact opposite is in the Bible, where Jesus comes, Isa comes and says, forgive your enemies, love them, bless them, take care of your enemies. So it's such a huge contrast.
The West goes to empower women, and then somehow the globalists get women to double back to go to the most Stone Age thing there is.
According to the Sharia, again, when it comes to women, there must be a hole dug in the earth, in the ground, and she must be covered up to the half of the body.
So know this, that Islam will enter every house. Every house.
If we fail to acknowledge that what we're witnessing with our eyes, what we're hearing when they say, you know, Muslim, we're going to take over America, everybody will be a Muslim, we'll be in every home. The reason why I keep banging on about this is because I want to save us from falling into the trap of divide and conquer. I know that there has to be Muslims out there that understand what I'm saying, that move to America precisely because of the libertarian.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Excited for you all to be here in the third hour of the program. We're keeping our eyes right now in Arlington. We're expected to possibly hear from President Trump. If he does begin speaking, we will bring that straight to you, of course, on this Veterans Day. And, you know, we've been trying to reflect, obviously, on our vets and, you know, obviously pay our thanks to them for all the incredible things that they've done for this great nation. I know early in the show I was talk about my father, obviously someone who served in Vietnam, someone I talk about quite often on this show, but I am very proud of him. Once the show wraps, I'll have to give him a call because I did text him this morning saying happy Veterans Day. But we all need to call those who have served this great nation and check in on them and also give them thanks and appreciation. But again, we're keeping our eye on President Trump right now in Arlington. When we see he's making his way over and when he's expected to speak, we will pop on in there. But speaking of vets, I've got our good old friend, Mr. Stuart Rhodes, in studio today. Thank you, my friend, for being here.
Oh, pleasure to be here.
It's an honor to have you here, especially someone who served in the Army and someone who has served this great nation in many capacities. I just want to give you the floor right now to reflect on this Veterans Day because we don't do enough of that.
Yeah, amen. And so I think it's important for all Americans, veterans included, to remember where we came from, all the sacrifices of those who came before us, and to understand that now it's our turn to stand up. Because otherwise, all that they sacrificed and all they suffered and went through was for nothing if we don't stand up and defend this Constitution and defend our republic.
Yeah.
So it's on us. That's why I think it's good to see President Trump at Arlington. I would advise anybody in Washington, D.C., Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, Pam Bondi, all of them that are failing us, they should go walk through Arlington, look at all the headstones, and read who they were and how young they were when they died, and then reflect on their responsibility. Because I got no F's to give for any excuses coming out of them right now for not doing their job to defend the Constitution. They all took the same oath I did. And so you hear all kinds of excuses and people apologize and you're making excuses for them. They shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
So we got to remember where we came from and what was done before us and then stand up and have the same kind of courage.
Well, that's kind of where I wanted to take this in. I wanted to talk about renewing people's oaths. You know, obviously, right. When you serve this great nation, you take an oath
right.
to do just that. And this is something that you have obviously been very passionate about as right. the founder of the Oath Keepers.
To defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, was the oath that I took as a paratrooper. Same oath that police officers take across the country. It's the same oath. And the founders, in their wisdom, put that in the Constitution itself in Article 6, a requirement that everyone must swear that oath.
Yeah, and I think it's really important. Yesterday, we actually had a caller call into the show, Savage Dog. He's an often caller right. to this program, and he was saying how important it is for those who have taken the oath to create groups and to militant groups and try to protect the American people, because right now we are dealing with a massive, massive threat.
Yes.
Obviously, you are someone who is well-versed in all of this.
Right.
What's your takeaway from that?
No, absolutely. I think what they, you know, Sarah Adams was talking about it.
Yeah.
You've got multiple people that are experts on terrorism talking about the upcoming attack that's going to happen inside the United States, an October 7th style attack or Mumbai style terror attack inside the United States. It is coming. And General Flynn talked about that yesterday with Alex. He thinks within the next 90 days. I think he's probably right. So that's one reason why I'm re-energizing and restarting Oath Keepers is that we have a duty in this country to remind everyone that took the oath of that core responsibility to honor the oath. but also to get back to the business of preparing Americans for what's coming. So down at the very grassroots level, I think it's high time that all the veterans come together, and then all the other men in the community too. All men are responsible to be protectors. And so, you know, no one gets a pass because you're no longer serving. You're still on the hook. Your oath doesn't expire until you do. But even if you're not a veteran, you're responsible as a man, as an American man, to stand up and protect, you know, the people in danger. So I think it's incredibly important for us to start gathering together at the county level, you know, actually neighborhood, town, and county, and coming together for that one purpose, to protect against the terror attacks we know are coming. And so that's part of what we're going to be doing within Oath Keepers is what we call the Strong County Project, to focus at the local level. And number one job is security. You can set aside politics and arguing, you know, how many angels fit on a head of a pin and all your different disputes you have inside of MAGA, but focus on the threat and focus on your responsibility to prepare and protect against it.
Yeah, and that's a big one. And I'm going to get your take on this in a little bit, but obviously today I've been sounding off because I've been very upset with the White House. Yesterday we saw something that was gut-wrenching. We saw the so-called Syrian leader make his way into the White House. We all know he's an Islamic terrorist.
Right.
It's well-documented. Our own government put a $10 million bounty on his head. And I kind of wanted to, obviously as a veteran, when you're sitting back and you're watching President Trump welcome this guy to the White House, and then President Trump, we played the clip earlier in the show, says, oh, yeah, he's had a rough past. I mean, what's your feeling when you see that happening at our White House?
It's sadly the same pattern we've seen across multiple administrations where the Muslim Brotherhood is able to infiltrate every administration in our government, you know, whether it was Bush and then Trump, the first part of the first one, and now again, same story. And so I think, I don't know if it's not being naive. How could it be naive about that?
Yeah.
I don't understand how that can be. And the same goes for the 600,000 Chinese students. Like you said, I was listening earlier, you know, absolutely they're going to be spies for communist China. That's what they are.
Yeah.
And so they shouldn't even be here at all. And so it's really disturbing to see President Trump apparently either not know or pretend not to know the threat. We're already at war with China. You know, they use what they call unrestricted warfare, and part of that is the cartels and the fentanyl, but another part of it is all the espionage, like you were talking about, all the espionage and all the spying that's being done by their nationals coming into the United States. And not only do you have all the 600,000 students who are coming in overtly, you also have all the ones who came across the border illegally as refugees who were military-age males from China. Among them, of course, the majority are going to be PLA troops. That's what they are. So we need to recognize the reality is that we are already being invaded. We're already facing an insurrection, and President Trump long ago should have called forth the militia to prepare to put it down. And that includes all of us. So he could call up, and he should call up every able-bodied male from 17 to 45. I've been saying this for years, but that's what he can do right now. We have an invasion, we have an insurrection, and we have a direct opposition with force to the execution of the laws of the Union. Those are the three purposes listed in the militia statutes for him calling forth the militia. It's also what's listed in the Insurrection Act as the triggers for him being able to take action. So he's beyond justified in doing it. But it shouldn't just be the National Guard. That's the select militia. That's part of the militia. The rest of the militia is all of us able-bodied males, 17 to 45, and for us veterans, it goes to age 64 because of our prior training experience. He can call us all up and should.
Yeah.
And organize us in our counties and tell us to stand to and wait for his orders. That's what he should be doing.
Well, I think it's a great idea, honestly, because I'm sitting back and I'm watching what's happening, and it's very upsetting. You know, when we talk about China, what they've been able to do over these last few years under the Biden regime, they have been able to infiltrate like no other. I mean, they were able to even operate, and it's so mind-blowing, police stations in New York City.
Right.
And the FBI knew about it. Everyone knew about it. They allowed it to go on for over a year, and then they stepped in like, oh, we have to shut this down. But they were going, they came here for many reasons, but one was to go after those Chinese immigrants that did legally migrate to the United States, and they were looking for freedom. They were harassing them. We know that throughout Queens, New York, mm-hmm. There were many stories of Chinese immigrants saying that this police department that they allowed to be open in New York City was a group of people who obviously working for the CCP and were going after these people and targeting them. And that's not supposed to happen on U.S. soil. But Stuart, when I sit here and listen to all these stories and I'm watching what's happening in the White House, you know, I hate blackpilling everyone. But as at this point, I no longer have faith right now in our federal government. I think it's important for all of us locally to begin the process of preparing for the inevitable, what might actually happen when we bring in thousands of Islamic terrorists.
It's going to happen. Absolutely.
Thousands right. of Chinese. Yeah. So many. So let's talk about the
local level. And I agree. I think we should continue to push President Trump to do what's within his power as commander-in-chief, his duty to do. but also have to admit that the trajectory is not looking good for the Trump administration right now. And so we can't wait for that. We should be organizing ourselves for mutual defense at the local level.
Yeah, and President Trump is there right now in Arlington. Obviously, he's going to do the reef placement in just a few moments. So we look forward to seeing that. We'll keep it on the screen for now as he's there. Obviously, we want to pay respect to our veterans. But what happened yesterday, I mean, on the 250th birthday of our Marines, and he just brings an Islamic terrorist into the White House, it's really hard for us to look away and pretend like this is acceptable behavior. It is unacceptable, Stuart.
Yeah,
I can't even imagine what it's like for veterans who have served this great nation to sit back and watch that and then watch this. I mean, yes, he's paying his respect and he says he does respect our vets, but man, oh man, was yesterday a slap in the face for so many great Americans.
Yeah, agreed. That's the problem is that I don't know what's going on in the White House, but it's a mess and we have to just drive on ourselves. I mean, MAGA, I have to disagree with President Trump on that. He didn't create MAGA.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a surfer that jumped on a wave that was already existing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw different versions of it over the years. The Ron Paul movement was very much the same people. Mm-hmm. America first, constitutionalist, loyal to this country. That's who energized the Ron Paul campaign. And the same goes for the Tea Party movement. So MAGA is just the latest label put on the already existing wave that was already building up. It's been there for decades. And President Trump, you know, to his credit, took that. And then was able to surf that into the White House, you know, actually three times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he won three elections. So, and you got to give him credit for that. But he has to do what he told people he would do. You know, I got the Trump tattoo on my arm when he got shot while I was in prison. I got that tattoo because he showed strength and courage that day.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I hate for that to be the high watermark of Trump's legacy, is him standing up in Butler and saying, fight, fight, fight. But once we put him back in for that purpose, and God saved him that day, I believe, for that purpose to save America, that's why he's still here. That's why his head didn't explode that day. He was given the grace of God to then do his destiny. His destiny should be to defeat the deep state. You don't defeat the deep state by the actions he's doing right now, though. All he's doing is perpetuating it. And square one, he should be firing Cash Patel, Bongino, and Pam Bondi, and Todd Blanche. Those are the four that should go right away.
Yeah, and it's hard to sit back and watch. And, you know, obviously, folks, in case you're unfamiliar, Rhodes, you are actually a criminal defense attorney. You've practiced before previously.
I'm a recovering lawyer, like being a recovering alcoholic. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And also, the Ivy League thing also adds to that as well.
Yeah, don't take it out on me. I went to Yale Law School, graduated from there. I clerked for the Arizona Supreme Court. Yeah. Then I was a criminal defense attorney in Montana. But I realized that our criminal justice system is completely broken long ago. Before I became a victim of it,
yeah.
I realized it was broken. And all the more so since, you know, serving as a political prisoner in my own country.
Yeah.
So it's broken from top to bottom. It needs to be completely scrapped and redone. But what's coming out of Pam Bondi's office, I mean, no accountability for any of the prosecutors who suborned perjury, intimidated witnesses, all the crimes they committed, felony crimes, have not been taken into account yet. So I don't see anything coming out of her to reform the justice system at all.
Yeah, and I want to keep diving into that because I think that's really telling in itself, right, folks? We talk about it often in this show. You know, we try to be as transparent as we can by bringing you the truth. I'm not going to sit here and tell you a bunch of lies. The reality of it is right now we have a very rough situation over at the DOJ. Not enough is being done. And for us on the outside looking in, it looks like they're running the clock down. It looks like they're intentionally not prosecuting a lot of these key cases.
Right.
Or they're slow rolling it, Stuart. And you would know from the legal side of all of this.
Yeah, looking at a five-year statute of limitations on a lot of these crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so within the next 2 months, they'll be expiring. So the ability to prosecute these people. So that's the problem, is that when the left takes over, like when Obama came in, he purged the military, he purged DOJ, he purged anybody in the federal government that wasn't going to be on his program. And I think, you know, we should be doing the same thing to them. When we come into power again, just last time, the purge has not yet happened. All the prosecutors, you know, they're leaving voluntarily. Some of them are resigning. But for the most part, they're all still there. And they're the ones that are blocking everything that's supposed to be done inside of the DOJ to drain the swamp. The same goes for the FBI. You know, Cash Patel has not fired a 5,000 FBI agents who were sent across the country to persecute Americans, not just J6ers, but, you know, anti-abortion protesters, the right to have, you know, girls in locker rooms not being molested by men. All of those activists were targeted by the FBI. So I said on Alex's show the other night, I think it's important for us to purge them all out. And I believe every paid informant who was ever hired by the FBI illegitimately to go out and persecute the political right should also be identified to the American people. Their faces should be all over billboards across the country so that you know who in your neighborhoods and your towns you cannot trust, who already served as a snitch illegitimately for the FBI. He should be exposed. Because until that happens, we're going to see more entrapment of Americans, even under Trump's current administration, just like the first time. Yeah. All that was done under his first administration.
Yeah, and that's the problem here, right? Because we sit here and we look back and we always say we want accountability. We want to make sure that President Trump is filtering through all of this. But the FBI has been a complete disappointment. I mean, I sat here and endorsed Kash Patel because the guy literally wrote a book about going after all these key players.
Right, government gangsters. Yeah.
And it sounded like he knew what he was doing. And unfortunately,
I read that when I was in prison.
Oh, how was it?
It was great.
Yeah?
Yeah, it sounded wonderful. It sounded like he was going to go in there and actually clean house. But look what he's done.
Look what he's done. And I think it's really important to note, too. And I keep telling everyone, look over what happened, because President Trump, you got to wonder what's going on here, right? Because the Missouri AG was taken out of his position, Andrew Bailey, and shifted over to the FBI and was put in a position we've never heard of before. Co-deputy director, Andrew Bailey, now that guy. But for me, I'm watching and I'm listening to people in his office tell me that, oh, he thinks that possibly he's going to be doing the switch, where if Pam Bondi isn't the one who's going to be going after these people, that quickly President Trump can move him over to the AG's office, and he's already been read in all these cases. And so he hit the ground running. What are your thoughts there? Because, again, it didn't make any sense why Bailey was being brought into the FBI. But that's the only thing that truly does make sense at this point.
I hope so. I hope, you know. Anything's better than Pam Bondi right now.
Yeah.
I consider her Bill Barr with a dress and a wig.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's really upsetting. I don't understand how we're not demanding more from these individuals. And, you know, in the next segment, I want to get into a little bit about justice, because we're not seeing much in the way of the Department of Justice. And she said it during confirmation hearing. We'll go into it in a little bit. But going after the Bureau of Prisons, going after those who manipulated the system. I mean, we haven't seen anything happen.
Right.
So I'll talk to you about that.
And I don't think you're going to see anything happen. I mean, she's a career prosecutor.
Yeah.
It's kind of like expecting a career police officer to bring into account bad cops. It's very rare for that to ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to give each other a pass. I think the same thing goes for prosecutors.
And the FBI, too. When we talk about going after those who have misused the office, or just people who were going along with lawfare and just pretending, oh, I was just doing my job.
Right.
We're not hearing specifics as to who's been fired, how many people have been fired.
And almost none. Only the ones that were disclosed who have been spying mm-hmm. on congressmen got fired.
Yeah.
That's the only time that they actually hit a third rail. Otherwise, they're given a free pass.
Well, Stuart, this is really important, too, because Arctic Frost, I was infuriated, right? Because I've been trying for, and you and I met when you were in prison,
right,
and you were in jail, and I was reaching out to
you. You were one of the few journalists that had the integrity to interview me back then.
Thank you.
So props to you.
Well, you opened up my eyes to a lot. I started off very neutral on this front, and I didn't honestly know which way I was going to side with it. And I just wanted to hear from your take, and you outlined it clear as day. When we spoke on the phone, you said to me, you see what's happening to me right now? You saw what happened to me in court. They are just trying to do a blueprint for what's going to happen to President Trump, and you were right.
Right.
They did exactly that.
Before they charged him. Yeah.
Yep, that was before they charged him. You right. saw right through it all.
Yeah.
And then I spoke to Tario, and he was telling me what's happening behind the scenes as well, to him as well. And it was just this clear as day case that they were doing their very best to try to get people to flip on President Trump,
mm-hmm.
but then they were also trying to test the court system to see that if it would work for you, it would work for him. I mean, there was perjury committed during your trial. There was so much that happened to you.
Yes.
And not a single person still to this day has been held accountable.
Right. Absolutely. All the lawfare against us was just a buildup to get President Trump. That's all it was for. All of our prosecutions, all the guys that were coerced into false confessions and then coerced into, you know, talking trash about President Trump I say coerced because they were threatened with many years, decades in prison. I'm one of the exceptions. I refuse to say anything against President Trump in my sentencing. But a lot of guys were coached by their lawyers, which are terrible lawyers, frankly.
Yeah.
Lawyers in this country right now will advise their client to do the most dishonorable actions and for their own safety. And so I think it's disgusting to see what happened. But all of that was a machine to smear President Trump, deflect attention from what they had already done, you know, stole the election, and also to suppress the MAGA movement, to terrorize us all. But what man means for evil, God will use for good. It didn't work. And this is what's frustrating, though, is that we've been given a brief reprieve, some grace to then fix this country and save it. And we have to press President Trump to do his duty. And I don't want to hear any excuses for why. You know, I don't want to hear about fifth dimension chess or kind of nonsense.
I know.
Until we see perp walks, nothing's being done. That's where you have to say, okay, that's not happening yet. It should happen right now. It should have happened long before now. 10 months is way too long. They were prosecuting us within weeks.
Yep.
They've been arresting people within days, actually, of J6. And so we need to see results. And if we're not going to see results, I think we should go march on Washington on J6 and go do a massive protest outside the White House demanding that President Trump fire Patel, fire Bondi, fire Bongino, and clean house in the FBI and DOJ so we can actually have some justice. And not just for ourselves, J6ers, but also for all of our country, because you got to fix the 2020 election. Once you give accountability for that and fix our electoral system, they'll keep stealing elections going forward. You don't have a republic anymore.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I want to get to the J6 angle and all of this in just a few moments, too, when we come back from the break. But I also want to get your take. We're watching as Antifa is doing what they do best.
Right.
And the president, he through an executive order, designated him as a terrorist organization. But the reality of it is that we saw what happened yesterday at UC Berkeley.
Yep.
We saw what they did to just for a simple turning point event. Again, they are allowed to be there. They were lawfully there, those at the turning point event. And this is what they're dealing with. Those were smacked in the face, apparently, allegedly by these Antifa members.
Same thing we saw in 2017.
You know, what's changed?
Nothing. And that's why we went to Berkeley twice to protect, successfully protect free speech in the downtown Martin Luther King Park. We were there. The Proud Boys were there. Other groups, 3%ers. You know, we all got together and protected those because no one else was doing it. The cops weren't doing it. Mm-hmm. So we had to step up and do it ourselves. And that's one reason why I'm relaunching Oath Keepers also, because I see things like this happening again. And it's important for us veterans to be in the streets with retired military or police protecting Americans. And this is why President Trump should call forth the militia, including all of us, but at least the National Guard. They should be in Berkeley right now.
Yeah, and that's big news that you're calling on, you know, to bring back the Oath Keepers, to bring back this, because we're sitting back watching, and it's really sad, it's really frustrating. But the president just seems to be asleep at the wheel. We saw the roundtable where he brought all these people, these well-known conservative influencers, in to have a discussion, but we haven't seen much happen here. And you know, while we sat back and we watched Charlie Kirk get assassinated, I know people are floating all these ideas as to who it was, but the reality of it is he's still saying that it was a left winger and it was funded by left wing terrorist organizations, and yet there was not doors being ripped off the hinges. At 6 a.m. the following day after Charlie's funeral had me infuriated. We've got about 1 minute yet left. Your reaction to just the lack of response there?
I mean, it goes, like I said, the FBI, frankly, should be disbanded. I think it's been broken from the very beginning, but right now under Cash Patel, all they do is cover and spin, and we can't trust anything coming out of that office. Yeah. So I don't believe anything in the Charlie Kirk assassination investigation is accurate. I think Candace is probably right. I think that they're on the right track, and so is Tucker, and that's why they're being demonized and attacked. That's why Cash Patel was screaming and yelling about Tulsi Gabbard looking into foreign influence or involvement in Charlie Kirk's assassination. He doesn't want her looking at it. I think Cash Patel's been compromised. I really do. And that's why I think he needs to go. He can't be that incompetent. He's covering for them. He's not just being incompetent, not doing his job. He's actually covering and protecting what's really happening.
Yeah.
Like, look at his excuse for the 274 FBI agents that were in the crowd on J6. You know, it came out of a leak out of Congress, not from Patel, like it should have been. But his cover for it is, they were improperly used to do crowd control that day. That's just nonsense. Steve Baker pointed out it's complete bullshit.
Yeah.
So Cash Patel, I think, is displayed himself as, frankly, a traitor. Needs to be removed from power.
Yeah, well, there's more to dive in there, and I look forward to doing that just after this quick break. Again, to our audience, I want to remind you to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com as a thank you to all of who have sacrificed so much for this great nation. When you buy a supplement today, you're going to get a free InfoWars hat as well, just for today alone. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and grab a supplement and get a free InfoWars hat. More with Stuart in just a moment.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of thermoregulation issues, morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it. It has a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to. And I'm not a doctor. This is not a medical claim. But people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is. But it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is, no, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I'm excited you're all joining us today. We're keeping our eyes on President Trump right now, who is remembering our service members, of course, over in Arlington. So we will bring you the very latest when he begins to speak, of course. But I am joined here in studio by none other than Stuart Rhodes. Stuart Rhodes, many of you guys know, is the founder of the Oath Keepers, and he's also a recovering criminal defense attorney as well. And we've got a lot to discuss with this guy. So for those of you at home who didn't know, I actually met Stuart I made my mom very nervous when she saw that I was writing guys in prison in jail. she was very much on edge. But I was writing. She comes to my apartment one day and there's a stack of just actual letters that I was sending over to the guys who were leaving the jail and right. to wherever they were just so that they could stay in touch. And my mom looks over and she goes, Brianna, what is this? And I'm like, oh, it's just a new dating service, Mom. And that was the joke. She didn't find it too funny, though. But
awesome.
The reality is I was trying to keep up with the J6ers, both right. male and female J6ers, and try to keep up to make sure you guys were okay in there, because there weren't many people wanting to hear your side of a lot of this.
Yeah, and we really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank Absolutely. You. Yeah. Well, of course, you know, when we see our fellow American patriots who are going to be dragged off and be made examples out of, we should not back down. And it's just such a disgrace that so many people didn't do the same to reach out, to talk to people. Even to this day, we still have patriots in prison. You know, I'm advocating for so many people to be brought out. You know, the two individuals who were charged in the Whitmer kidnapping plot, and this is an absolute disgrace. They are sitting right now in federal custody still to this day. Yeah. They have not been pardoned. You know, I spoke with Ed Martin, and Ed Martin said they were looking into it.
They should be pardoned, yes.
Yeah. Well, and when we did the interview, Ed Martin was on board with all of it. The interview went viral. And then sadly, Whitmer heard about it. And she apparently stepped her foot in and tried to get President Trump to stop. And according to her, President Trump said, if you don't want it, then we won't do it. And we haven't heard since then, which is an absolute disgrace. Because those men were set up by the FBI. More FBI involvement in that fake Whitmer hoax, kidnapping hoax, than actual individuals that wanted her to kidnap her.
That's their pattern. Same thing was done to the Ammon Bundy standoff at the Mallory occupation. There were actually like 12 FBI agents or provocateurs around him, more than the people that were not around. And it's not, and that's nothing against Ammon. That's how they infiltrate. That's how they take over something and then manipulate it into an entrapment. That's how they do it all the time.
Yeah,
we saw that within Oath Keepers. We had a high-ranking Oath Keeper. I'm still under a gag order. Can't say his name, but the New York Times outed him, thankfully. That's karma for you. So the same thing happened to us. They put infiltrators. That's why I said what I said. You got to purge out all the FBI agents who persecuted us, and you should also identify and publish the names of all the informants over the years so the American people know who they are. Mm-hmm. And that helps to deactivate their effectiveness.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they need to. And it also creates a lot of questionable situations. Like, a lot of people question whether or not this person's is informant or not. And I think to free up people who are being wrongfully accused of being an informant, I think you have to do that. You know, you even faced those accusations. And you faced accusations while you were in jail. What is it like for when someone's wrongfully accused of that to be placed in jail?
It's surreal, right? Yeah. So because I wasn't arrested for a year, I didn't go inside. I didn't fight any cops. Mm-hmm. And so they had to go cook up false testimony against me before they justified an indictment. But because I hadn't been arrested, well, Stuart Rhodes must be a fed. That's why he hasn't been arrested yet. So people are demanding my arrest on our side, oddly. So then when I finally am arrested and held in solitary confinement for over a year and face, 18 years in prison, 18-year sentence, without bitching out, without backing down, I told the jury the election was stolen, unconstitutional. I told the judge the exact same thing. I didn't give an inch. So it's really a surreal experience to be in prison, looking back on people that accused. That's how it goes, though. There's so many snitches out there and so many undercover operations running that no one knows who to trust. And that's part of the intent of the secret police, whether it's KGB or the Stasi or Gestapo. It's the same throughout history. Make everyone suspicious of everyone around them and afraid to associate and afraid to organize and suppress everybody. And that's what they've done. That's the whole point. So you can't let yourself be suppressed. Like, when we start Oath Keepers, it's a double-edged sword because I don't want to expose good men to being entrapped, but we also have a duty and responsibility to come together and protect our fellow Americans against Antifa violence, against jihadists, or whatever they try to cook up to destabilize this country. We have a duty and responsibility to come together. So we just have to just understand the terrain and do it as wisely as we can, as carefully as we can. But even when you do the best you can, like we had no use of force incidents all that time we were doing security across the country for Act America, for example, in their march against Sharia, all across the country protecting them, Trump supporters everywhere, not one use of force incident. We were very effective, but we still got railroaded for January 6th.
Yeah.
So the reality is, that's why you have to purge the government of these bad actors. And Trump has took the deep state down now in this administration while he's commander in chief. He needs to pull out all the stops and get it done now. That's why I've always been advocating for a mass declassification exposure of all the dirt. Expose them all now. Take them down. Whatever the cost may be, get it done now, because you can't let them come back into power. If they come back into power, it's going to be exponentially worse for everyone in this country. As Alex was talking about, they had a list of thousands of Americans that were going to go put in prison and put in camps. That's what their plan. That's what their plan was. And that should be no surprise. That's what communists do throughout history. So we can't let them get back into power. And so President Trump needs to be pushed by his base to keep his promises to actually take the deep state down. And I don't want to have I want to hear any excuses out of anybody about why it's not being done.
Yeah. And we demand just that. I mean, we didn't vote for a guy who was going to kind of, go a little fair, we want them all gone. We want them all dragged off to prison, because what they did to this country was absolutely disgraceful. And like you said, they'll take us all and put us all in camps. Right. I mean, that's not an over-exaggeration. That's not fear-mongering. We saw it happen.
What are they going to do?
Yeah, and they always start sample size. They always go after a couple of people first, see if we allow it, then keep extending it out and out. And we've watched that as it unraveled. And so many people were too cowardly to call out what was happening on January 6th. Again, Stuart, we saw the reports about the Oath Keepers, and often the mainstream media would refer to you guys as a violent militia group.
Right.
And
that's why I keep stressing, we actually never had to use force.
Yes.
We had the capacity to use force, very well-trained men. Like 30% of our organization was retired police officers who can carry all across the country under Leosa. And so the enemy were afraid to close with us because of our competency. We never had to actually use force. So it's really weird that they call us one of the more violent, radical, extremist, anti-government, you know, it's just complete nonsense.
Well, that's the key point here that I want to keep dragging home because, you know, I started off J6 stuff like very down the middle, didn't know what to expect. And I didn't know anything about the Oath Keepers. But during my research, as people are telling me, oh, yeah, they're a violent militia group, I'm asking, well, when have they been convicted? Show me videos. Right. And there's nothing out there.
Nothing, yeah.
And it's so unfortunate that so many Americans don't ask that basic question. And then engaging in conversation with you, it was very clear to me, and after watching what happened during your trial, that you were targeted by our federal government. And I kind of wanted to dip into the trial a bit because Steve Baker did an incredible job at exposing the lies, the nonsense that happened. And I don't know if we could talk about the judge specifically, but he allowed something.
Yeah, Judge Mehta. Yeah.
Okay. So he allowed something during your trial, which was insane. And it set off a red flag in Steve Baker's mind when he saw him suppress a document that was drafted up apparently, allegedly by Harry Dunn, Officer Harry Dunn, the Capitol police officer that day. According to those, and you weren't in the Capitol that day, and you never instructed them to go into the Capitol that day.
Right.
But a group of the Oath Keepers did, a small group did go inside the Capitol.
And helped Harry Dunn.
Helped Harry Dunn.
Right.
But sadly, according to the accusations that are being made, and I'd say accusations, of course, but that information that Harry Dunn initially allegedly put down in a document never made its way to the jury because it didn't go with the narrative that they wanted
to tell. His original 302, the FBI write-up of his initial interview, said the Oath Keepers helped him that day. He admitted that. Mm-hmm. But yet, they didn't show that to the jury. And instead, he got on the stand and perjured himself and lied. And said that the Oath Keepers, that wasn't the Oath Keepers, that was some other group of guys dressed like that. I was mistaken about who they were. It was really, the Oath Keepers were actually threatening me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then lied about being with Officer Lazarus together and saying they were both together and witnessed the same thing. And it turns out Officer Lazarus, as Steve Baker discovered in video, was in the tunnels under the Senate at that time. So they both were caught red-handed lying on the stand. And yet to this day, that they've not been prosecuted for that perjury.
And that's the problem here. And nothing happened there. Harry Dunn was made a celebrity, even right. Democrats backing him so he could run for Congress, and thankfully that failed. I mean, the guy's not very bright when you hear him open his mouth. It's just not an intelligent person. But the reality of it is that was one of the many issues that you guys had during your trial, especially just given the fact that they pushed it through and they tried to orchestrate it to line up to the public J6 hearings that were happening. I remember there was an incident with it was Ken Harrelson, one of your co-defendants. His wife was like, did you watch? They showed a gun that wasn't actually a gun. During the J6 theatrical opening congressional trial or hearing, I should say. And ultimately, they were trying to persuade any potential jury pool into thinking that you guys were a bunch of hardcore guys who brought weapons to J6, even though you didn't, brought weapons there that day to overthrow the U.S. government. And again, that never happened. And in fact, you couldn't even get a signal. So your guys had gone inside, but again, to help Harry Dunn, and it wasn't the intentions, but they did, essentially. And you're outside, you're unable to get a signal to place a phone call into the Capitol that day.
I didn't know they were inside, but I was trying to reach my team leaders for the security teams, trying to locate them, because they're supposed to be en route from Trump's event, escorting the speakers up to Alexander's stage for the second event they were going to be at that day. I was just trying to reach him, and I couldn't reach him.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And they tried to say that you were orchestrating it.
Right.
And I believe there's one individual.
Like a general, right?
Exactly. Who said, oh, yeah, well, he didn't directly tell us to go in, but it was kind of in the back of our mind. We were supposed to just do it.
Yeah.
One of the guys
took a plea deal and said, oh, it was implied. That was their default. They couldn't find any actual direction from anybody in leadership to do anything. But they said, oh, it was an implied conspiracy. They told the jury you can infer an implied conspiracy, an implied agreement to have been formed in their minds as they walked up the steps without talking.
Stuart, that's so scary.
It's nuts, yeah.
It's so scary that they were able to get away with these lies. And 18 years is what they initially sentenced you to.
Right.
And although you are free today, you're not technically 100% a free man.
Right.
You haven't been pardoned entirely yet. What's that like?
It sucks. I mean, Joe Biggs in the same boat, Dominic Pozzola, Kenny Harrelson. We're all military veterans. We've lost our disability, lost all our rights as veterans because of this prosecution and persecution of us. And so we deserve a pardon. We're asking for a pardon from President Trump.
Yeah.
And so we've all have, I believe all of us have applications in for a pardon with Ed Martin's office. We don't know why it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not going to wait. I've heard rumors that it was because, well, they're waiting for the midterms. I'm sure it's kind of nonsense President Trump's being told. But he should do the right thing by us because we were actually the ones who went to trial and were most loyal to our country and to him.
Yeah.
We didn't take a deal. Some of the guys took deals and lied and completely rolled over. We're given pardons, which is really strange.
Yeah.
So the 14 of us that went to trial were the ones singled out for commutation.
Yeah, I've never understood why you guys were singled out. And again, there were other people there who
all did. Oath Keepers were Proud Boys. Only those people. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we talk about the mainstream media and their lies all the time. The president seems to understand that, but it seems like he's going along with the lies. If he probably hasn't even been briefed properly on this, it's the reality of it is like right now we have an individual who was there for the Breonna Taylor shooting, an officer who was sent to prison under the Trump administration. He didn't shoot Breonna Taylor, but because one of his fellow coworkers was shot in the leg by Taylor's boyfriend, the Biden regime did go after him for responding and shooting back into the apartment. But long story short, he was sentenced to about 3 years in prison. And even though the Trump administration, the DOJ said, don't send it to the prison, to the judge did anyway. They haven't even intervened there and freed this man. And I know that there's active death threats against his life because of how the DOJ spun it initially under the Biden administration, that he was the one who, and they think in their heads in the jail or in the prison, that he shot and killed Breonna Taylor. What is it like for someone who is a part of a high profile case like the Breonna Taylor? I mean, what is his prison like going to be like?
As a police officer, very dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he'll have to wind up either self-checking into protective custody, or he'll be, you know, exposed to being killed.
Yeah, they have him in solitary right now. What is it like for solitary? Just so people can understand, because solitary confinement, at one point, the ACLU understood that it was abuse. Now, though, and it's used against conservatives, they don't want to speak up on that issue.
Of course not.
But what is it like in solitary?
Well, I mean, it's a form of torture. Around the world, whenever another country holds an American like that in solitary confinement, the U.S. State Department will complain and call it a violation of human rights and a form of torture. That's the whole point of it against us, was to coerce us. We were held in solitary pretrial. Myself, over a year. Some of my co-defendants for almost 2 years held in solitary confinement. Try to break us. Imagine being locked in your bathroom. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what it's like. Being locked in your bathroom for, you know, 24 hours a day or 22 and 2. Let you out for 2 hours. Go, you know, take a shower and use the phones. And you're back in your bathroom again. You're being fed through a slot. That's what it's like. No sunlight. I went over a year without being under an open sky. So no direct sunlight. Yeah, it's a violation of human rights. But I was able to stay strong through that because I said, look, I'm like a prisoner of war, and I understand that this is nothing compared to what prior American servicemen who were prisoners of war suffered, whether they were being held by the Vietnamese or the North Koreans or by the Japanese in World War II. They had a lot rougher than what I'm going through. That kept me from feeling sorry for myself.
Yeah. And it's not acceptable, though, Stuart, because the reality of it is right now the DOJ runs, and they have always run, the Bureau of Prisons. So technically right now we should have a DOJ that's going out there and fighting for those who have been wronged by the system and their poor treatment while they were in federal custody. I mean, I was talking to Enrique Tarrio, as many of you guys know, one of the leaders over the Proud Boys. And he told me that he was being sued by a church, and they didn't allow Tarrio to go to his civil court case. In fact, the only time that they did, he was stuck in traffic late and the judge called it off. So he got forced $3.2 million judgment.
Right.
And that's due to the fact that the DOJ, who runs the Bureau of Prisons, wouldn't take him to his civil court case.
Right.
So now he's being forced to cough up potentially $3.2 million. And just to put this in perspective, the DOJ is being sued by Tarrio and a group of the other Proud Boys as well in regards to their treatment, their constitutional rights being violated. And the lawsuit itself, because it's a bunch of them, is $100 million what they're asking for. But the DOJ, just a couple of, I believe it was over 2 months ago, submitted a request to the courts asking them to toss out the lawsuit, saying that they have immunity when it comes to any type of constitutional rights being violated, type of argument. They have immunity to that. As a former practicing recovering attorney, however you want to phrase it, what's your reaction to hearing the DOJ claim that they have immunity to violate Americans' constitutional rights and get away with it?
So it's as though the Biden administration, Merrick Garland, was still running the DOJ. Yeah. And that's because they still have the same people in power that are actually there doing the work, which is means doing the work of the left. Pam Bondi is either asleep at the switch and letting Todd Blanche do what he wants, which is to block and obstruct and defend what was done under the Biden administration. That's who he really works for. Or Pam Bondi herself is sold out. But either way, it's as though they never changed. It never changed hands. It's very frustrating. So President Trump wants accountability. He wants compensation for all those J6ers who were falsely imprisoned. And yet his own DOJ is fighting against, instead of settling, which is what they should be doing in negotiating good settlement for the Proud Boys and for the rest of us as well. Instead of that, they're fighting it, you know, scorched turf. This should be dismissed entirely. We're completely immune. They shouldn't be allowed to sue us at all. That's disgusting to have the DOJ under President Trump not actually doing his intent. I don't want to hear any legalistic arguments about, well, why, oh, institutionally, she has to defend the institution. What a bunch of nonsense. It's her job under obligation as an attorney and as a public sworn attorney to defend the Constitution and to do justice. That's the oath of a prosecutor, is to defend the Constitution and also to do justice in each case. This is not justice.
Yeah, and President Trump is, in fact, going after the DOJ as well in his own civil lawsuit as well, just because of the lawsuit that took place against him. And there's reports.
That's ironic. So are they going to dismiss his charge, too?
Well, that's what I was saying. Yeah. Exactly.
Dismiss his claim?
Yes, because Todd Blanche would be the one to approve whatever the settlement agreement would be. Right. And so he was actually asked, because I believe it was the New York Times reporting that he's requesting through his attorneys, although he said it's just his attorneys, he's hands off the case, of course, saying that he's asking for over $200 million, $230 million in this claim. Now, the laughable part here would be Todd Blanche would be the one to approve it. He's saying he doesn't have anything over it. It's just being handled by his legal team. But again, the DOJ would have to say, okay, maybe we don't have legal immunity here.
Right. But now they're between a rock and a hard place. If they directly try to deny it to President Trump, he'll get pissed off and might fire him. I hope they actually do that. I hope they actually are dumb enough to do a motion to dismiss on his claim, too. Please.
I didn't see one, and that was a telling part in all of this. I don't think they'd have. I don't think they'd have the cojones to do that.
No, probably not. They're not that stupid. They'll let him have a settlement, and he'll take it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But then they're trying to block ours, and so this is why I'm not sure what's going on, President Trump. To be charitable to him, I would say it's a repeat of the first time. He's been surrounded by snakes. And they're giving him horrible advice, and their whole intent is to run the clock out until he's gone.
Yeah,
and that's the deep state plan. It's the same playbook as the first time around, which is why they want more disruption, why they want more chaos.
Yeah,
so you should expect that to be done in this country.
Yeah, and I want to highlight the fact that I know going into this wasn't the plan. I actually had a source who was telling me what it was going to be like for Cash Patel when he took over as the FBI director, because he had, before being sworn in, had mapped out a plan as to what he was going to do within his first few hours of getting into the position and being sworn in. And sadly, it seems like some of it's been carried through. But again, most of it's pretty light, that the stuff that he has done, it's the light, it's the easy stuff. The heavy lifting he hasn't really been able to do. I know he said that he was going to take the headquarters out of D.C. when it came to FBI. He wanted to purge all of that. Was the go-ahead for it. And although we've seen reports, you're not really hearing much in the way of what's actually being carried out on a day-to-day basis. The personnel decisions that have been made are very questionable. There was a gentleman, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, in California, who went after and tried censoring. He was an FBI employee, went censoring and was talking to the social media companies to censor people who disagree with the Biden regime. He was outed. I think his last name was Chen or something like that. I was the one who did the uncovering into, well, he's actually, because according to people he worked with, he's actually not active online. And so we looked up at his work history. They gave him, according to my own reporting, they gave him enough time to take off time so that he could still leave the agency, leave the bureau, but still cash in on his retirement perks. And hearing that was infuriating, but they never actually said, when I said that he was no longer with the agency, they never actually said, no, that's not true. You'd have to expect that someone like this is someone you just immediately would fire on day one. Right. But every time I ask questions, I'm told we can't confirm personnel decisions. And we also can't tell you specifically, or we can't just fire people just because of possible allegations that they were part of the machine last time. They have to go through a certain process. But that wasn't what the FBI did previously under Christopher Wray. Any whistleblower who came forward.
Got fired.
Elvis Chan. There you go.
Yeah.
This was a gentleman who I was told was put on terminal leave, but was able to cash out his retirement benefits. Again, what's going on here? Or, like, I don't know how else to read it besides the fact that they're not doing the job that they told us they were going to do.
Yeah, that's it. Complete failure. That's why I say Cash Patel is obviously compromised. There's no other explanation for it. I mean, either they either threaten you, because that's coercion, they bribe you and buy you out, or they're compromised and they basically blackmail you. Those are the three ways to control people. I think with Cash Patel, it's probably blackmail. He's probably been blackmailed for something that he doesn't want disclosed to the public.
Yeah.
So, but either way, he's compromised. Whatever it is, whether it's through threats or blackmail, he's been compromised. That's why he should be fired. Be removed from President Trump and replaced by somebody else. Give somebody else a shot.
Yeah, well, it's difficult because, you know, I remember...
I vote for Kyle Serafin, you know, speaking of whistleblowers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? We know that, well, I know specifically that they put, President Trump put Kash Patel in charge of the vetting process for those nominees that he was going to start nominating before he became the FBI director. So there was a lot of trust instilled in him. And so he knew what the vetting process was like. And so it's really hard for me to wrap my mind around until I saw his confirmation hearing and others too, to put my mind around as to how he was able to get past all of this. But then I sat back and I watched. I watched his confirmation hearing. They didn't do much in the way of pushing back against him. Also watching what happened to Pam Bondi's confirmation. They're softballing her with questions. No one's hitting her with any actual questions. I know there were allegations that she may have during the Trayvon Martin trial, George Zimmerman trial, may have put a fake witness on the stand during that trial. There were allegations about her potential role in the Epstein prosecutions that were taking place as well, red flag laws that she supported. There was a lot of questions about her, but none of it made it to her confirmation trial, confirmation hearing. And I was very confused as to why that was. But now we got about a minute left. I'll let you to react to it. Now we kind of could understand why. Maybe that there was that she was already on their side.
Yes. I think she already was. Now with Patel, it might be he came in with the best of intentions, but they knew he was vulnerable to their blackmail or their pressure. And they, you know, they knew what was going to be done to him. And so they let him squeak through, and then they intimidated him.
Yeah.
You know, I think Joe Biggs is probably right. When Patel and Bongino came into their offices, they were probably sat down by one of the actual people that run the FBI and said, here's two files. Read yours. Here's the dirt we have on you. Now you're going to do what we say, or you'll be exposed. Because what else explains their behavior?
Well,
that's exactly how they're acting.
Yeah, and it's hard for me to understand because Dan Bongino, obviously a very successful podcast, one of the most well-known podcasters in the conservative movement, for him to leave his position, he went there with the best intentions. He went there, but this video, it looks like a hostage video. It looks like both of them are crying before they got up there. It's not a good look.
No.
Very respectable man, Dan Bongino.
But everything out of their mouths has been lies.
From
that moment on, that was my big red pill on the two of them, and I watched them get up there and say that Epstein killed himself, that the Butler investigation into the attempted assassination of President Trump is now terminated because the shooter is dead. I was like, where did, you know, invasion of the body snatchers, where did Patel and Bongino go? Been replaced by these two robots.
Yeah, it's really upsetting to see. You know, Seward, we have good news, though. You're going to be sticking around here on InfoWars for a bit. You're bouncing around. You're doing Alex's show as well in a little. So
Veterans Day extravaganza.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. We're keeping you here. So, folks, don't go anywhere. There's more with Seward, of course, on InfoWars throughout today. Again, if you haven't done so, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because as a thank you for those who have sacrificed so much for this great nation, we are offering a free hat with every supplement order, of course. So when you order a supplement, you're going to get a free hat over at the AlexJonesStore.com. So head on over there right now and make sure to snag that deal. Stuart, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it.
God bless you.
God bless you as well, my friend.
I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason because it is the final batch.
Final batch.
Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod-Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act, and not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod-Ease Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Bod-Ease Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod-Ease Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.